Lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivikasa Swami in 4th November 1995, Mangalore, South India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder of Chan.
Jamad yasya yaton vyad itaratash chartesh vidya swarat.
Jamad yasya yaton vyad itaratash chartesh
vidya swarat. Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yat suryaha.
Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yat suryaha.
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinamayo yatra trisago mrsha.
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinamayo yatra trisago mrsha.
Dhamna svena sadhani rasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi.
Dhamna svena sadhani rasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi.
Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is the central activity in spiritual life, not the chanting of Om. The impersonalists, they like to chant Om because they don't like to chant the personal name of Krishna. Krishna is personal. We don't see that anyone is addressing Krishna as calling him by name, Om. It's a formal address. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om, O my Lord, is a formal address. Just like you might say, Mr. President. In America, if you address the president, you formally would say, Mr. President. So that is the nearest that comes to a person. Om, A-U-Ma. Jiva Goswami's analyze means Lord Krishna, Radharani, and all the other living entities. So that indicates the Supreme Absolute Truth. But the Mayavadis, they've taken that concession to chant the name Om, and in this way try to avoid the personality of Godhead. So we chant Om along, not simply by itself. When we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya in conjunction with the name, specific personal name, indicating Bhagavan. It's like this morning, Ram Kumar was chanting Jai Guru Dev and then finished the kirtan. So Prabhupada, he didn't like this because who is that Guru Dev? Mayavadis, they mostly chant Jai Guru Dev. You'll find all over North India, Bihar, UP, you'll find written on the walls Jai Guru Dev. Have you seen? You went to Vrindavan? A few years ago it was very popular. And someone with a much better mentality has written Jai Shri Radhe on every wall in Vrindavan, which is better than Jai Guru Dev, if your guru is some impersonalist rascal. Well, they're writing Jai Guru. In Bengal also there's the Jai Guru something. They chant Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Jai Guru. Jai Guru, on and on, chanting. Who is that Guru? There's no answer. Therefore, Jai Prabhupada. I would say we shouldn't chant just Jai Guru. We have to say Jai Prabhupada. Actually, it's a GBC rule that we shouldn't chant Jai Guru in kirtan. It was probably doing nothing. But my understanding was that if you're going to say Guru Dev, we should indicate Prabhupada. Otherwise, you'll find in Hindu meetings where they're all different people come together, different speakers. One person will say one thing, and someone will say something else, and then someone will say something else, and they all clap each other. Oh, you spoke very nicely, even though you spoke something completely different to what the other person spoke. But they have no fixed platform. So they'll, just like when we say Prindani, we say Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa, we indicate specifically Prabhupada. So they will say apan apan guru ki jai. Whoever your guru is, all glories to him. Whatever nonsense he speaks, whatever nonsense he is, all glories to him. All glories to all the gurus. The guru is one. Guru is one means, guru teaches, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. He is guru. No one else is guru. Anyone else, he may have big tilak and big shika, and speak so many mantras and have a big fat belly. That's considered to be one of the qualifications of a real Brahman. He has a big belly. He is Brahmanar Bhojana Priya. You may have heard. Brahman as they like to eat. So that's considered a sign of a real guru, because if he doesn't have many disciples, then he can't eat nicely. But if he has many disciples, then he can eat nicely. So a real guru should have a very large belly. This is a misconception. How to recognize a guru. Guru means you understand not by seeing but by hearing. May have a big belly, may not have. It's got nothing to do with whether one is guru. Guru means who speaks the absolute truth. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as received in the form of God. And we have to surrender to. So this is one of those misused words. There are so many misused words in Hinduism. Om is one of them. Jayanti is another. Everything Jayanti. Rabindra Jayanti, Gandhi Jayanti, Ambedkar Jayanti, even Gita Jayanti, that's not correct. In ISKCON we picked up this term from the general body of Hinduism. But Jayanti, this word means the specific astrological constellation at the time of the appearance of Krishna. Not that anything is Jayanti. My daughter's Jayanti. My rice mill Jayanti. I opened the rice mill on such and such a day, so we're celebrating 1 year Jayanti. Everything Jayanti. Slaughterhouse Jayanti. We celebrate. We open the slaughterhouse. So many misused words. Avatar. This is a very much misused word. Bhagawan. Guru. Mahatma. In North India especially, anyone who has orange cloth and a biri hanging out of his mouth, he's called a Mahatma. The real Mahatma doesn't use biri, he uses chilam. That means he's Paramahamsa. He's already graduated from Peter's. Stoned out of his head. Mahatma. All these words misused. Mandir, you see. Vidya Mandir means that some school, you go to school and they teach you how to get a job as an electrician. Vidya Mandir. Sari Mandir means they're selling you some saris. How they misuse all these words. Mandir means place of worship. So typical modern Hinduism, and they misuse words. So Om, this word should be used to indicate Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo, Namaha, offering my obeisances. That means, Namaha means to take a humble position. To go, it literally means to go under. Namra. That word is there. Namra means to be humble. Namaha, to go under. Prabhupada used to say that understanding means standing under. If you want to understand, you have to stand under. Don't stand on top and think you will understand. Understanding means standing under. So Namaha is the verbal representation of dandava, falling flat on the ground like a stick. Bhagavate, Bhagavate means unto the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya. What does Vasudevaya mean? No. Vasudevaya. What does Vasudevaya mean? Unto Vasudev. Yes. To Vasudev. Vasudevaya. Narayan, Narayanaya. Krishna, Krishnaya. Vishnu, Vishnave. Different changes there. Not Vishnaya. What is that? Pandit Kaye, Murkam Kaye, Murkam Kaye, Vishnaya, Pandit Kaye, Vishnave. What is that Bhavagrahi Janardana. The verse is there, Narada Pancharatna. I can't remember exactly. It says that a learned man says Vishnave, and a fool says, an uneducated person says Vishnaya. But Krishna accepts the mood. Bhavagrahi, Bhavagrahi. He accepts the mood of the devotee. Then, next word, Janmadi. What does this mean? Janmadi. Janma Adi. Compound of two words. Janma Adi. Janma means birth. Or in this case it means the beginning, creation. And Adi means
beginning.
Beginning, yeah. So Janma Adi means
beginning of creation.
No. It could mean that, but in this context it doesn't. It means starting point. Janma Adi. Just like the word is there, Ityadi. It means Janma and everything else following it. So what does that mean specifically? Janma Adi? Creation and everything following. So what is that? What follows creation?
Sustenance
and?
Destruction.
Means Janma that we have in the Brahma Samhita. Srishti, Stiti, Phalai. Three stages. These are important terms. If we're going to discuss Vedic philosophy, these are important terms we have to know. Srishti, Stiti, Phalai. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. So, Janma Adi Asya. Asya means one word. Tasya, Yasya, Asya. Simply of. Yasya means of whom. Tasya means of him. And Asya means of anything else. Tasya means Tam Asya. And becomes Tasya. Yasya means Yah. Asya. And this just Asya. So, Janma Adi Asya. Janma Adi Asya. So, here this means of the manifest. Janmadi. What is Janmadi? The universes. What is created, sustained, and destroyed? The manifested universes. So, Asya means of the manifested universes. Yataha means from whom. Just like this is we have in Gita, Mataha. Where is that verse beginning with the word Mataha? Mataha. Matah parataram nanyat. Very important verse. From me, Krishna says, or than me, superior, parataram, above me. Na anyat, nothing else. So, yataha, from whom? Mataha means from me, or than me. Anvayat itarata. These are important words. Anvayat means directly, and itarata means indirectly. Cha means and. Arteshu. What is this word? Artha means money. There's another important meaning. Meaning or purpose. Generally in discussion of philosophy in Sanskrit language or any other Bengali, whatever, you'll find this word artha is used to mean purpose. Meaning. Purpose or meaning are two different. Meaning, just like what is the meaning of a word? What is the meaning of a word? Or purpose. What is the purpose? The udeshya, abhipraya. What is the, for what reason? Kimartam. You'll find this often in Bhagavatam. For what? For what reason? Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan to go to Mathura when all the residents of Vrindavan loved him so much and he loved them? So, artha means purpose. Then arteshu means Any idea? That means plural. Aiteshu means purposes. Abhigyaha, as we discussed the other day. Gya means to know. And abhigya. Abhi means, that is a prefix. There are so many prefixes. Vi, ni, nir, un, a, apa. So this prefix, those who study Sanskrit, they have to study all of these. So abhi, all of these prefixes, they have different meanings. So abhi means, here, that means, that gives a sense of fullness. Gya, and that means one who knows. And abhigya means knowing fully, in all ways. So here, anvayad itarash charteshu abhigya. So, Krishna is directly and indirectly aware of all the reason, all the purposes of the creation, why and how everything is going on. He's fully cognizant. So, this is giving stress. Abhigya in itself, that already means he's fully cognizant. Anvayad itaraha means directly indirect. That's to give stress, to stress the point in every way. Whether you take this way or that way, Krishna is all knowing. This is honest. Doing this nyayana, so that's called Gobali Vandha Nyayana. Gobali means offering a cow in sacrifice, and Vandha means, again, to kill. So Gobali Vandha Nyayana means Gobali, if you say, it's complete in itself. If you say Gobali Vandha, that's simply repeating to add emphasis. Adding emphasis. Just like if you say, that man is nothing but a fool. If you say that man is a fool, the same thing is said. If you say he's nothing but a fool, that adds emphasis. He really is. Just like in Gita, you'll find Krishna use the word mudha quite often. Mudha. Abhijananti ma mudha. Those who don't know me, abhijananti. Those who don't know me, even this word abhi is this prefix, abhi. Abhijananti ma mudha. Those who are not aware of me in fullness, Krishna says, they are mudha. Then again, sometimes in Gita, Krishna uses vimudha. Here, vi, the prefix means to add emphasis, big food. Vimudha nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshusha. You know this verse? Important verses. All of us. Here you'll find Rupi Madhva Sampradaya. They put a lot of stress on this 15th chapter of Gita, which describes the Supreme Personality of God, very clearly delineates Him as being different from the jiva. So this is from the 15th chapter. Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagumanvitam vimudha anabhi jananti jananti jnana chakshusha. That how the living entity in the conditioned state is changing body, one body to another. Who cannot understand this? He is vimudha, very big fool, very big idiot. And who knows? Pashyanti jnana chakshusha, who has got the eyes of knowledge, he can see. So this abhi, abhigya, that adds emphasis to. Vi, that's another which adds emphasis. Then, swarat. This is another very important term. All these terms, swarat means independent. All these terms, all this which is being stated here, this will be elaborated upon in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This will be elaborated upon. Swarat means independent. I just said it, so it should be independent. Swarat. Another word is Swatantra. Swadhin. Swatantra. Paratantra. Swadhin, Paradhin. Krishna says, I was giving that verse, that Krishna is dependent on Aham Hi. Aham Hi Bhakta Paradhina. Aham Bhakta Paradhina. Nasvatantra. Krishna says, I'm not independent. I'm dependent on my devotees. So Krishna is independent. This is a theme which is emphasized again and again throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to help us understand Krishna. So this theme is emphasized again and again, how Krishna is independent. This is a very important point in understanding God. If we say, oh, God, you say Krishna is God and he's dancing with the gopis, why should he? With that, he is independent. If he wants, he can do it. You may say, why does God play a flute? Why does he not play bass guitar, saxophone? He can if he wants. He doesn't want to. He wants to play the flute. There's another reason. Why? You can think of another reason. Krishna's name is Gopal. Krishna Gopal. Gopal Krishna. Then another reason for playing a flute? It's a cowboy, yeah. So what's that got to do with it? Because the cows in India are up to date. I don't know here in Dakshin Kannada, but in other parts, you'll find they're called by the flute. They know the sound that the cowherd boy plays the flute and they'll come.
Different names.
Different names also. You can't just like Krishna, his cows, they also have different names. Here we usually call Lakshmi or Rupadi or something, we call the cows. Krishna's one cow's name is Kali. Means the Kali color, and Havali, there's different names are given for the cows. So, because calling the cows, and of course, he also calls the gopis with his flute. So he has different reasons. But anyway, he wants to. Why does God, who is the proprietor of all the universes, live in a village and look after cows? So it's very strange. The real thing. This is God. Even Lord Brahma, he was bewildered. He's expecting God to be a big Narayana, sit on a throne, and everyone will bow before him. And he thinks, what is this? Some village woman is cooking some food for Krishna. And he's running in the village and rolling on the ground. This is God? Just some village woman who's living in the village and with the cowherd people, this is God. Even Lord Muhyanti Yat Suryaha. Here it said, Muhyanti Yat Suryaha. He's bewildering, even to the demigods. He's Swarat. He does as he likes. Again and again, this is demonstrated how Krishna is independent. Just like Krishna ran away from the battlefield, therefore his name became Ranata. Ranata. Ran means?
Battle.
And Chor means? Chor means thief, but this is another. To give up. It's called Chordo. Leave him alone. Same thing. He gave up the fight. Left the fight. One Chor. So, we may say, as Jarasandha said, oh, he's simply a coward, even though Krishna had defeated him 17 times. And Jarasandha, he should have just gone to the forest in humiliation. But Jarasandha, oh, he's afraid of him. He's run away. Krishna just to manifest his opulence. He doesn't give a damn about Jarasandha. He doesn't care for him at all. So he just left. Alright. So, this way he shows he's independent. If he wants, he'll just leave. And he may be accused. Oh, he left the battlefield. And then he becomes glorious. When Krishna steals, people glorify him. Makancha. When he runs away from the battlefield, he's glorified. No one is glorified for running away from the battlefield. Arjun, Krishna was warning him, if you run away, then everyone will call you a coward. What could be more painful for you? But Krishna himself, he walked. Simply walked. He didn't run away. He simply walked away. without any concern. And still, Kalyavana was chasing him. And Krishna was walking, and Kalyavana was chasing him. But he couldn't catch him. Why? That's not exactly the reason given. The reason given is that no one can catch Krishna by any material method, only by love. Even you may, that verse is there in Brahma Samhita, we're chanting in the morning. Kanthas tu koti shatavatsara sampradamya, vayora tavi manaso muni pungavanam, sopyasti yat pragavasinya vinchinti tatvi, govindam adi pubisham tamahum vijayam. Even if you have yogic power, which is the topmost power in the material world, and you move at the speed of the mind for many, many years, you can't catch Krishna, because Krishna cannot be caught by any material means. Kalyavana, big, strong king, king of the Yavans, he couldn't catch Krishna. Mother Yashoda, just a village woman, she caught Krishna. How did she catch Krishna? By love. Bhakti Bandham, we're singing in this cartoon. Bhakti Bandham. Krishna could not be tied by any ropes, but he was tied by the rope of affection. This is Kali, they're imitating. Have you seen Kali? Picture of Kali? The deity Kali? Like this? Yataha. Anvaya, itra, svara. Tene brahma hrida ya adi kaviye. Tene means imparted. Brahma means? Brahma means? No. This was explained 2 or 3 days ago. Brahma means Vedic knowledge, yes. Brahma means spiritual knowledge or realization. Brahma also refers to the absolute truth. We always say Brahman. Prabhupada used this term to differentiate, because this term Brahma is used in different ways. So to differentiate, to make it easier for us to differentiate, Prabhupada in his books made the term Brahman. But actually, that's a different grammatical case, but the usual, without any grammatical case, if we simply call it by its original name, that's Udbodhan, simply call it by its name, then that is Brahma, means the absolute truth. It also means spiritual knowledge, and it also means the Vedas. So here Brahma means Vedic knowledge. Hrida means the heart, yes, to the heart. Here Prabhupada translates as consciousness of the heart. Yaha, one who. Then Adi Kaviye means Adi. Again we have the word Adi. Means original, yeah. Here Prabhupada is translated unto the original created being, who happened to be Kavi. Kavi means
poet,
yes. So one who understands the Vedic literatures, he may be also called Kavi. Learned person. And of course, Brahma, he's also Kavi, because he made his own poetry, Brahma Samhita. So he's been called Kavi. That learned person, scholar, poet, he may be called Kavi. That's what we find in Bengal, the Ayurvedic doctors, they're usually called Kaviraj, because they have knowledge of the Vedic. They know Sanskrit. Somehow that term came to them, Kaviraj. Kaviraj. Kaviraj, that is given, that title is given to good poets, just like we find Krishna Das Kaviraj, Govinda Das Kaviraj, the Vaishnavas, they gave Govinda Das, different devotees, the term Kaviraj for composing nice poetry. So Kavi means poet. That's also one of the qualities of devotee, the 26 qualities Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. One of them is Kavi, poetic. It's that we read in Brahma Samhita. Stated in Golok Vrindavan that talking is singing. What is that? Natyam gamanam vanshi. Then going, walking is dancing. Natyam gamanam vanshi. What is that we call that? Vanshi. Yes. He. Chidananda Jyoti. How does that verse go? Natyam gamanam. Just before that is? It says that speaking is singing. Alright, next line. What does the original question mean? Muhyanti means? Illusion. In illusion. They are in illusion. Yat, about whom? Suryaha. Surya means? Demigods, yes. Great sages and demigods. Teja. Teja means?